I said, guarantee your daddy is sick with cancer because of your mother's sin. I said, your mother's sin has opened the door to the kingdom of darkness, and Satan has legal reign in that whole family everywhere he wants to go and do what he wants to because of this unforgiveness. And I said, he struck your daddy. Since he had access to everybody, he's going to take your daddy out first after your daddy. I said, he'll take her out next. He said, so what I got to do? I said, you got to go to your mother. You got to tell your mother she has got to forgive everybody from her heart. I said, now, since they've been raised in a Baptist church, she's not going to believe that her husband's sick because of her sin. But I said, she can believe Mark 11:25-26 real easy, where the Lord says, if you don't forgive everybody from your heart, neither will I forgive you. I said, that's real easy, isn't it? I said, now just think, what if you get to heaven one day and you had a bunch of unforgiveness and the Lord says, oh, who are you? And you say, well, I'm Thurman Scrivener. I've died on earth and I'm ready to come in. Oh, you're Thurman Scrivener. You're the one that had the unforgiveness towards Bob and Susie and Jane. He said, didn't you read in my word where I said, if you do not forgive them, neither will I forgive you? And since I haven't forgiven you, no profane thing is going to be in my heaven. So into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. How would you like to be confronted with that when you got home? Whoa, he said, I never thought about it like that. I said, go tell your mother she's got to forgive those people and get right with them. So they went and told his mother, and his mother did call everybody and get right with them because it is written in God's word, Mark 11:25-26. As well as some other places it says same thing. This man come and told me, said, Thurman, Mom forgave everybody. We called them or went to see them or something, but it's all taken care of. I said, okay, good. I said, now there's a wonderful promise in God's word in James 5:14-16. James 5:14 says, is any sick among you? Anybody in among you sick? Is anyone among you sick? Let's see what you have to do. He says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, so far, this does not seem difficult at all, right? I mean, our part's real easy, isn't it? Now, then look what he said after we anoint him with oil. And the prayer of unbelief. Oh, is that what that says? Oh, the prayer of what?
Faith.
Oh, the prayer of faith. In other words, oh God, if it be your will you please heal Brother Bob? Do you hear any faith in that prayer? That's not what he's talking about, is it? He's talking about, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said in John 14:15-16, pray the prayer of faith. Now, Father, we pray the prayer of faith. This man is now healed by your power in Jesus' name. That's faith. And then you say, thank you, Lord, it's done, praise God. Turn around to everybody and say, I guarantee he's going to get well because God made him a promise. I mean, if we can't guarantee God, who can we guarantee? Why do I think that Chevrolet's going to guarantee their car for 100,000 miles if I can't guarantee God? I mean, I stand on those promises of the Chevrolet place if I go buy a new car. And they say we guarantee it for 100,000. Well, if I take it back with something broke, I expect them to fix it, don't you? But we have no problem with man's guarantees. But we have a lot of problem with God's guarantees. God's the one that guaranteed this. Look what he says here. Anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, is that an awesome promise? I mean, just stop and look at that promise. Is that written in God's word? Then why don't we stand on that? Why don't people in the church, why don't we believe these promises? If that was the only promise in God's word for healing, who should be able to get healed with that scripture? Everybody that believes, right? Now then, but now when we come in, and this is what so many elders do, even pastors, oh God, you know, if it be your will you please, we're going to pour a bottle of oil on his head, we're going to rub it all on, oh God, if it be your will. Do we do that? Yeah, that's a prayer of unbelief. Now then, this man that his wife got right, the husband was the one that's sick, the wife was the one that had the unforgiveness. He was sick because of her unforgiveness, because just like Matthew 18 says, when she got right with everybody, and then I told this young man, he was about 50 years old, I said, I want you to take your dad to your Baptist church where he's a deacon and have him have the pastor and some of his deacons pray over him and anoint him with oil, just exactly according to that verse. And I said, I want him to pray in faith, nothing wavering. I said, tell nobody there, if anybody there is going to say, oh Lord, if it's your will, I said, throw them out. You don't want them. I said, take some men that'll believe the promises of God. And so they did. They prayed for that man, and that man that was supposed to die in a few days with a hole burned in his colon In 1 week, the man was completely well, and he went back to work, and that man lived to be 80-something years old before he finally went home to be with the Lord. James 5:16 says, confess your faults or your sins one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, see, here is another one of those cases where it says, confess your faults. Confess your sins, right? Well, that's what they had done. This mother had confessed her sin to each one of her in-laws that she had this unforgiveness for. And then another thing it says there, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, let me ask this question. Now, guys, this is not a trick question. I'm not trying to fool you or anything like this. How many of you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you are a righteous man? Hold up your hand if you know you're righteous. Okay, well, that's good. The rest of you that didn't hold up your hand, you don't know who you are. Why are you righteous? 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells you. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he that has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Who made us the righteousness of God? Jesus did. Isn't that amazing that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? So when I see that, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Why? Because I'm somebody? No, because somebody, Jesus Christ, he made me righteous. And you're righteous because of that same thing, right? Because Jesus made you the righteousness of God in Christ. So when you get a hold of it, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ because I have his righteousness, I can pray the prayer of faith for you, right? That's absolutely right. When you learn, you got to get past your sin. You got to confess your sin, and then you got to get past your sin, and you got to believe that you are who God says you are. And when you realize, hey, it's written, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Say, if I'm righteous, that's all I need, right? I am righteous. So can I pray the prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer for somebody to be healed? Yes. Why? Because I'm righteous. I'm righteous because Jesus made me righteous. So I can pray that prayer. And if you don't believe you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you might as well stay home. Ain't no use to go to a prayer meeting because you ain't going to get no prayers answered, no way. But when you realize who you are as a son or a daughter of God, you can pray. Is that kind of scary that your mate can be responsible for your death? It really is. You better be careful who you marry. That's why God told you in the Word, you do not want to be unequally yoked with an unbelieving woman. Guarantee. Now then, usually it's the other way around. Some woman comes to me and says, Pastor, I have met the perfect man. He loves me. I'm going to marry him. My first question, is he a Christian? I don't know. I haven't asked him yet. What? You've already agreed to marry this joker and you don't even know if he's a Christian or not? Does he go to church? Well, no, he won't go to church with me. I said, throw him away. That's good advice. You know that? But women don't see it like that. They say, but will you pray? I said, yes, I will. I said, okay, Lord, if this is the right man for this woman, you make sure you bring him into the kingdom of God. You gloriously save him and set him free and fill him with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, if he's not the right man and you tell her he's not the right man and she refuses to let him loose, then ask you to put her down in a sick bed in a hospital where she can't marry him. And I've even seen God answer my prayer a couple of times. I have. But you know that woman's better off in a sick bed in a hospital and she is married to that unbeliever? You don't want to be married to an unbeliever. The Lord clearly said in his Word, what does a devil and a child of God have to do in the same house? It's tough enough being married to a Christian woman. It's tough enough being married to a Christian man. You know there's times in your life when you got crossways with your mate. I mean, I'm a man, you're a man, you're married to a woman, and y'all don't think the same all the time, do you? You don't go by what you feel. You go by, it is written. Why do you think God said he sent his Word and healed us? Is that what he said? Yes. Now then, let's go back to where we were there in Matthew 18 when Jesus told us to forgive 490 times. That's a lot of times, isn't it, young lady? Why do you think Jesus told us to forgive so many times? Why do you think it's that important? Most people really don't know why it's that important. See, what Jesus knew that most of us don't know, when we get into unforgiveness, we open the door to our entire family to the enemy. Satan has legal claim to you when you get into unforgiveness. Not only to you, but to your children, to your spouse, to your bank account, to your assets. Everything you own becomes legal property of the enemy, and he'll destroy you, and you won't even know what's going on. And this is happening to so many people in the church, and so many people are dying in the church. Now then, we've already established the fact that if you don't forgive, if you can't get in there, you're going to be subject to the devil, your spouse is going to be subject to the devil, your children, and all of your property, right? That's what he said. Okay. It says, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. Therefore, you find everybody is going to be subject to this. Now, there's some people probably go through life sick and afflicted because their mother or dad had an unforgiveness towards someone, and especially children. I've seen so many children that were sick because of something that their parents did. And he said, and that servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now then, we come to Jesus as people that are lost with a bag full of sins, don't we? If we come to him and worship him and ask him to forgive us, is there any of us he would turn down? Never. He would never turn you down. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old, how young. You come to Jesus and call on the name of Jesus when you're lost. You just come and say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And at that point, you're redeemed. He's already paid the price. You don't have to confess sin to get saved. You just come to Jesus and say, I want you as my Lord and my Savior. And he redeems you. He pays the price for something you couldn't pay for, and you've just been forgiven, washed in the blood of Jesus, and you're made perfectly white and clean and pure as snow. But all I got to do is just call on the name of Jesus, and he redeems me. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, once you receive him, how many sins do you come out on the other side of that account with? Zero. That's exactly right. You're clean and pure and holy. I mean, when he washes you in the blood, how many sins are left? Not any. Now, after that, you go through life and you sin again. That's when he said, I give you 1 John 1:9.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled All His Promises Are Yes, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.